I love to help people create a safe haven in their homes, right? Because we are being bombarded in our air and our water and our food. I mean, literally, there's no way to avoid toxins. So as you mentioned, we want to keep those pathways working well. But one of the simplest things to do is reduce that toxic load. Like, let's just right off the bat, make sure our personal care products and, you know, we're not using a bunch of plastics in the kitchen or nonstick pans and chemicals in our cleaning products. All of those things, you know, are cumulative, and that's what's, and our food. You know, I don't ever tell anybody, you know, you have to eat all organic all the time. But I definitely pay attention to EWG's Dirty Dozen list. And, you know, there are, like, I will never eat conventional celery because every year it's pretty much at the top of the list of dirty foods.
Welcome to the Anthropology Podcast. I'm your host, Megan Walker. As a former naturopathic doctor and anthropologist, I align the intersection of personal performance, purpose, and innovative thinking in badass women working to change the world as entrepreneurs and go-getters. Anthropology is the study and science of what makes an entrepreneur think, feel, and perform in a path compelled by a vision for helping others, solving problems, while building a life on your own terms. Together, we are exploring the health, mindset, and strategies that distinguish the world's best entrepreneurs. This is the Anthropology Podcast. Welcome to episode 213 of the Anthropology Podcast. I'm Megan Walker, former naturopathic doctor and anthropologist, deeply curious about the intersection of high performance entrepreneurship and health. So my guest today, Julie Michelson, is not only an international speaker, national board certified functional medicine coach, and someone who specializes in inflammation and autoimmunity, she's also a fellow biohacker, super interested in the strategic decisions and actions we can take every single day to fully optimize our health. And while I want to talk about autoimmune risk and things that we can do for our autoimmune conditions, we actually thought it would be super fun if we took all of the influences on autoimmune disease and talked about our favorite biohacks for each. What this means is we are not keeping this episode exclusively for those at autoimmune risk or those managing that disease themselves. We're keeping this pretty general in that it's going to be able to influence and optimize everyone's health. And if autoimmune is part of your risk profile, then you're definitely going to benefit along the way. We covered 10 topics and shared our favorite biohacks for each: sleep, stress, detox, digestion, immune health, brain, energy, skin, hormones, and finally, autoimmune and inflammation risk. It was a super fun episode, an experiment that Julie and I jumped into, and I'm super excited to share it with you now. Julie Michelson, welcome to the Anthropology Podcast.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here.
Well, we're going to have a really fun time today because I just want everyone to know, I just threw this down to Julie. I was like, I have this idea because you love to talk about biohacking and so much of your work centers around autoimmune disease. And we were just discussing how autoimmune disease is one of those things that percolates to the surface often when other areas of our health are unattended to. And so we're actually going to jam through 10 topics today with respect to health in general, because they all apply to autoimmune. And we're going to end talking about reducing autoimmune risk. And before we do that, Julie, I would love for you to give everyone a bit of a background on your work and your health journey and how we got to this point today.
Sure. Thank you so much. So like most of us in this field, I did get to my work through my health journey. I was diagnosed at age 34 with rheumatoid arthritis. I was a single mom with three young kiddos and spent 10 years following conventional Western medicine rheumatology treatment. And I use the term treatment in air quotes. They treated, you know, were trying to treat my symptoms. I was on 10 prescriptions and continued to decline for over a decade before I really hit the wall, was literally afraid I was going to die and leave my kids without a mom, and just started learning things on my own and experimenting, and found biohacking, thank goodness. And through the world of biohacking, found functional medicine, and I completely reversed all my symptoms, got off all those nasty meds. And I'm younger at 51 than I was at 34, and just passionate about helping others use those same approaches to reverse their symptoms and feel better than they think they could.
I love this concept, and I'm really passionate about the work that we can do to get health back in the hands of people. And I know even the term biohacking, people are like, oh, isn't there a nicer way of saying that? I'm like, well, the thing I like about biohacking is there's actually something exciting and dopamine driving around it, and there's a novelty to it. And yes, there's things we can do in our health that we've heard a million times before, but it's really hard to get excited about drinking water and reducing sugar. And the thing that, like, biohacking is just, it's just a little bit different. It's a slightly different take. It's a different entry point into the conversation. And so what we're going to do is we're going to hit some key areas of our health, key areas we need to be mindful of and pay attention to and take action on. And we're going to talk about our favorite biohacking elements. So the very first one, and I kind of feel like it is perhaps, you can disagree with me, the most important, but we're going to talk about sleep.
Absolutely.
What are your favorite ways to optimize sleep?
Ideally, and again, some of these people hear biohacking and they think like fancy, expensive equipment or, you know, crazy things that only Dave Asprey is doing in his lab. One of the best biohacks for really creating good quality sleep is creating a routine, right? Mm-hmm. So I go to bed around the same time every night. The things I do that lead up to my bedtime are the same. It's going to be so hard for me to cut it off at one. Really careful with blue light. And then using an Oura ring so that you can further continue to tinker and optimize.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Blue blocking. And for people who are like, okay, you're all talking about blue blocking. What the heck are you talking about? Blue light is a wavelength of light that comes off of our devices, our TV, our phones, all of the above. And what happens is it prevents our brains from releasing melatonin. And melatonin is part of how your body naturally puts you to sleep. So it confuses it. It's like, oh my gosh, it's morning, but it's obviously not. So blue blocking glasses help to block the blue light. And yes, they're going to make your screen look orange at night, but you're going to sleep way better. So I love that you mentioned that. And tracking, I wrote that down too. I was like, tracking sleep allows you to look at the data to know where to take action. So I love my Oura ring. I look at that data every single day. And two things I would just add here is that make your room dark, like
so dark,
dark, dark, dark,
like pitch black,
pitch black. And if you can't do that, then get a mask. And then the other piece is get off your device before you go to sleep.
Yes.
You don't need dopamine before you go to bed. I'm talking to myself right now. You don't need to check. You don't need to check one last time to see what happened on any of the social channels. Get it out of your room if you don't have the discipline around it, but stop on your device.
Okay. And then I have to add on to that one. If you do sleep with your phone next to your bed, please put it on airplane mode. Your alarm clock will still work, but please.
Yes. Solid, solid point. Okay, from sleep, I want to talk about stress. And stress obviously is going to have an implication on sleep and definitely will tie into autoimmune risk. What are some of your favorite ways of mitigating the influence of stress on your body?
So this has become my number one topic in the past year. We can all guess why. And I like to have people create stress management routines that pull from what I call two buckets, right? So something you're doing at least daily from that scientifically proven bank, right? Meditation, breathing. Doing some intentional breathing is so quick, easy, and effective. And again, you know, all of these play into each other. So doing that breathing at sleep, right before you go to sleep, can really help as well. But then the so important that people are often, especially right now, missing is this other basket of what I call fill your cup, right? What brings you joy? Like where, what makes you feel happy or relaxed? It may not be something like meditation. It could be, you know, family or hiking or your animals or art, you name it, fill in the blank. It could be as wild as you are. And those are things that we often don't pay as much attention to when they fall away. And so really being mindful that, you know, at least a few times a week, if not daily, that you're doing things that genuinely recharge you.
Such a solid point. It's funny. We got a new puppy during COVID. Like I feel like half of North America did. And at first I was like, this is gonna be one more thing. And it's an amazing distraction. Like he's so loving and such an awesome contribution to our family that any of the increased workload associated right. with having him around has been completely offset. But, you know, having a pet, like I totally understand a whole new realm of therapy animals and the influence of animals and, you know, nature and all those, I mean, I always like nature, but, having a pet is a really awesome way, to fill that bucket, as you said.
Yeah, it's great. And paying attention, you know, and being intentional about time with your pet, right? A lot of us have pets and we've had them for a long time. And so remembering like, oh, well, play with the dog or, you know, tap into that joy.
100%. I love the angle that you took on the stress piece. So I'm going to throw it on a different angle. And I think sometimes that there are sources, and if you hear like noises in the background, I'm sitting on my massage table so I can stretch and record. But I think with stress, there are silent sources of stress that we don't necessarily see. So we'll often think of stress as being this mental, emotional influence and kind of like a bank account. There are things that come out on autopay and you're like, wait a second, where did all my money go? And so there's also physiological stress. Yes. Your body's like, I am managing this stuff for you while you're busy building your business and it's taking all of our energy. So one I would point out is glucose. So if you're not managing your blood sugar well, either your blood sugar crashes or you're picking high glycemic foods like carbohydrate-rich foods and white bread and crackers and cheese like I accidentally ate for lunch yesterday, those things are not going to make – because we're real people.
Right.
Those things are not going to manage – your body's using a disproportionate amount of energy to keep your blood glucose in check. And unopposed – glucose in your system, you might as well just flip a switch that's like accelerate aging. So if it doesn't get you from the, I really love bread, then I want to get you psychologically around this acceleration of aging because it's a disproportionate amount of energy that goes into managing that. The other piece, sorry, you probably have things to say because glucose and autoimmune are like arch enemies. Did you want to jump in there, Julie?
I just was going to just really double down on that point also mm-hmm. with that continuous cortisol pump going, right? So many entrepreneurs are, you know, burning that candle and, oh, just push through. And so that's driving it's this cycle you get into. It doesn't even have to be your food. The stress alone can be driving the glucose. So just to be aware that, you know, I'll sleep when I'm dead mentality or I'll decompress. It really does not serve entrepreneurs for the long haul.
It totally does not. You have to respect the restore. You'll be infinitely more productive. Two other thoughts on stress is one, electromagnetic fields. And we've done some topics on this before, so I'm not going to get into it. But there's a huge amount of electromagnetic energy coming off of your laptops and your devices. And if you're on them all day long, you can get really cool mats that you put underneath your computer just to separate you from some of that electromagnetic stress. There's excellent evidence around how it increases physiological burden. So it's something to look at. And then the last one I'm going to throw in here because my audience knows I'm highly biased towards it, and that is this notion of purpose. Yes. And so there's tons of evidence around having an identifiable purpose in your life and really recognizing your skill set that you bring to that purpose and how working in alignment with purpose actually significantly blunts cortisol levels. Yeah. So It's super cool. It's a really interesting biohack, and you get closer to understanding your purpose when you do all the things you just spoke about, Julie, mm-hmm. just taking time to breathe and taking time to be aware and actually checking in with yourself. Your purpose gets to have more space in your state of consciousness, and it is a very cool hack.
It is. It's so important. And it is so, and we know there's so many studies on health, you know, purpose and health and purpose and longevity. I mean, it is, again, not all of these hacks are fancy equipment.
No, you don't have to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars. It's really about being aware. And it brings us to our third item when we talk about these 10 influences on autoimmune risk and sabotagers of longevity and all these pieces. And that is this idea of detox. And we're not talking about detox as in the kit you buy in aisle 3 at the health food store. We're talking about a physiological process that takes place every single day in the liver. It's how we activate and deactivate pharmaceuticals and supplements and foods and environmental factors. Julie, can you just first talk about how detoxification and toxicity influence autoimmune, and then some of your favorite things to make sure that your detox pathways are actually running effectively?
Absolutely. And stress is a toxin. So great lead-in, or chronic stress is a toxin, I should say. So we love to say in functional medicine that, you know, regarding autoimmunity, genetics load the gun, but environment pulls the trigger. And toxins are one of the most common underlying causes of autoimmunity or triggers, if you will. And if we think of the idea of a bathtub, we're all exposed to so many more toxins than literally ever. And it happens so much quicker than our bodies could adapt. So many of us also have impaired genetic pathways for detox. I would say for most people that want to biohack their detox, get some, genetic testing done and find out do you need some extra methylation support so that you can detox well. So that would be kind of, for me, the starting point if somebody really wanted to dig deep. And then on the flip side is, I love to help people create a safe haven in their homes, right? Because we are being bombarded in our air and our water and our food. I mean, literally, there's no way to avoid toxins. So as you mentioned, we want to keep those pathways working well. But one of the simplest things to do is reduce that toxic load. Like, let's just right off the bat, make sure our personal care products and, we're not using a bunch of plastics in the kitchen or nonstick pans and chemicals in our cleaning products. All of those things, are cumulative, and that's what's, and our food. I don't ever tell anybody, you have to eat all organic all the time. But I definitely pay attention to EWG's Dirty Dozen list. And, there are, I will never eat conventional celery because every year it's pretty much at the top of the list of dirty foods. So you just to be smart and mindful. But then the simple things, right? Are you drinking enough water? Mm-hmm. Are you letting these things clean out and pass through you? And again, if you know your genetics, you can know specifically ways to supplement as well. But then back to, so reducing stress, and then we'll go back one more and say sleep, right? We detox when we're sleeping. Make sure you're getting good quality sleep so your body can be really doing its job. So those are just really the basic level of understanding where we do have control. And again, even if our genetics are less than ideal, we can still support that and take that control back.
Yeah, I love that. You're going to get the best possible understanding of how your body processes all things by having some level of genetic testing done around that. So great call on that piece. And two, anytime we're talking about detox or cleansing, it's about how do we reduce the things going in? And you're right, our home, our indoors is more toxic than outdoors. So doing a really strong inventory and reducing your load, and then how you get things out. So, if you're chronically constipated, it doesn't matter what kind of fancy thing we throw at you. You've locked all the doors. That's like cleaning out your cupboards, but then you have your foyer is like completely full and you can't get anything out of your house. It is not helpful to have it all sitting in the hallway. So,
oh my gosh, I'm using that. I love that.
Right. And so, yeah, we're going to get into digestion next. So all of those things are solid, and I'm not allowed to mention supplements. So I will not mention magnesium as something that is really critical to your detoxification pathways in your system. So magnesium is something that I've seen people be chronically deficient in.
Almost everybody.
Yeah. And it's upregulated. We need more magnesium when our system is under stress. So, you know, back to topic number two, when magnesium is depleted, you can't supplement on magnesium and fall asleep. It doesn't work that way. But what happens is magnesium in your body enables your contractile system to start to relax. So it doesn't, when people say take magnesium and fall asleep, doesn't work. And I'm not talking to you, Julie, I'm talking to everybody here. Right. But what it will do is it will facilitate relaxation in your body. So right back up to that sleep piece. So it gets upregulated in those stress pathways. It's also a really critical cofactor in the nuanced metabolic pathways associated with stress. So it is a really critical ingredient. I won't tell you to supplement on it. No, I won't tell you to look for it in your food. But in the spirit of biohacking, make yourself aware of all the different places that magnesium can play a role.
Yes.
So detox, we're cleaning out our cupboards.
Yes.
And now we need to attend to the hallway, which is digestion. And digestion is like, this is the soul of a functional approach to health. If digestion is off, no one is fixing your autoimmune conditions. No one is fixing your skin. This is a foundational piece in our health. Again, Julie, can you talk about the role that digestion has to play in autoimmune? And then we're going to talk about how we start to hack that system.
Absolutely. So a couple things we see most, especially with autoimmunity, but unfortunately all too often in general, people don't have optimal levels of micronutrients anymore because most of us are not absorbing our food well. So you see, we get all these deficiencies. So our systems aren't working optimally. Take that a step further. There are certain foods that can encourage, in lay terms, it's called leaky gut, where we get, gaps in our digestive system. Food particles and proteins are getting out into the body, causing an immune response, which they should. That's good. Our immune system is our army. But when that is happening over and over again, we can be triggering this autoimmune cascade, even to the point of there's certain food proteins that mimic certain body tissues. And so, for instance, people with autoimmune thyroid issues, I really, they all need to be looking at diet. But it's not just, what are you not eating, right? It's let's heal that gut up to get those gaps closed. And then, are we absorbing really well? What I see all the time is people think like uncomfortable GI symptoms are normal, right?
Oh my gosh.
I'm gassy, yes. I'm bloated, I'm constipated, I have diarrhea, but it's normal. Like, I've been like that for years. It's fine. That's just how I am. I'm like, no, those are symptoms.
Just me. I only have a bowel movement twice a month. My doctor told me so. Yeah.
Right. It's always just been that way, and so if there's one takeaway, I don't know that that would qualify as a biohack, but pay attention to your body. Like it is, yeah. I promise it's telling you something. If you're not pooping at least daily and you are not completely comfortable from the time you chew your food to the time it comes out, something's going on there.
It's such a good point. I'm going to say on this one, raise your standards for what you expect from your digestive system.
Yes.
So if you have a bowel movement twice a week and your doctor's like, that's normal for you, raise your standards. If you have pain after you eat, raise your standards. If you're gassy all the time, raise your standards. I don't mean produce better gas. I mean, attend to it. This is one area where I'm going to say, unless you're like, I have really wicked, awesome digestion. I have like well-formed bowel movements, like once or twice a day. They're soft. There's no issue with my digestive system. I just gave you a standard there, by the way. There's no issue with my digestive system. There's some cool things that we can start to look at. One is the incorporation of things like fermented foods, sourdough bread, sauerkraut, like great ways of maintaining your microbiome. But if you eat those foods and you're like, oh, I'm so gassy, oh, I'm not feeling well, you have work to do in elevating your standards. So I don't want to get into treatment here. You gave some amazing suggestions, but if your digestion is like something that you have to think about over the course of your day, you need to work with a functional medicine practitioner or a naturopathic doctor to get to the root cause, because I promise it is going to come back to haunt you down the road.
Yes. And I have to add, because I can't touch on digestion without also talking about our neurotransmitters, right? Because we now know that the majority of them are made in our GI system. And so all of the, you know, I mean, we know there's such a mental health crisis going on, but there's such a connection between gut health and brain health and gut health and mental wellness. So even if you feel like you meet those high standards of that, you think your digestion is really good, but you're struggling with things like anxiety or depression, look for that gut health again. Check it out. Make sure you really are doing the things that support you fully.
And if you're on a medication to help support your mental health, anxiety or depression or any of those pieces, this is in no means a commentary on that element, because about 35% of our population is.
Yeah.
But there's an amazing opportunity here for you to start to do some gut healing work, which may open the door for you to be able to come off of that medication to reduce the potency of that medication. I really feel strongly that it is irresponsible to make that recommendation to people and not simultaneously start to talk about their health in a holistic manner. And it should be led with respect to gut health. So you can't talk about brain without talking about gut. We're just planting that seed for you.
Couldn't agree more.
Okay, so if we're going to have a healthy gut, one of the outcomes of having a healthy gut is having a healthy immune system.
Yes.
Overactive, underactive, it doesn't matter. If you're one of those people, you're like, oh, I get sick all the time, we're still talking about your gut health. So this is we're in your wheelhouse now, Julie. We're starting to talk about immune health. This is the essence of autoimmune conditions. Can you give us some of your favorite hacks to support your immune system outside of supplementation?
Well, we're going to go back to the beginning. Number one would be sleep. Number two would be stress management. Detox, digest, everything we just talked about, right? Directly impacts your immune health. And I do think of it as, you know, it's overactive, underactive, or just right, right? Like this is Goldilocks talk here. Because we all know, those of us with autoimmunity or awareness about autoimmunity know that overactive really is not ideal. And what ends up happening is, you know, things get confused and the body attacks itself. Not great. But as you mentioned, underactive, well, especially in this day and age, I've never known another time where people were more concerned about having an underactive immune system. Right? We actually want those signals to be sharp and clear. And so doing the things, reducing or managing your chronic stress, sleeping really well, healing that gut, and eating that nutrient-dense diet that's going to give you all those nutrients you need for your immune system to work optimally. There is no magic, you know, take this supplement and don't sleep and, you know, eat poorly and don't do any of those things, but this will fix it. There is no such thing.
I love that. And it's so very true. And, you know, immune health for very, very, very many reasons has been at the forefront of our conversations in the last little while. I'm just going to throw in there so the microbiome in your gut is going to have a huge influence in terms of the overactivity or underactivity of your immune health. And I'm also going to throw in there sugar again. So you want to sabotage an effective immune system really quickly, you pick those high glycemic foods. It's, and this isn't a matter of like, oh, you should take sugar out of your diet. This is really about glycemic control, but it has a huge influence on your immune system.
Absolutely. It is the quickest way to weaken an immune system for sure. And I will throw in, because of the state of affairs of late, isolation is not good for the immune system. So, you know, having that, those connections with people, whether, you know, whether it's in person, I'm not telling people to like go out and go to a party, just to clarify, but making sure that, that you're nurturing those connections, you know, the people you love, the family, the friends, whether it has to be via Zoom or telephone, or, you know, you have your small circle that you do see in person. But we are humans. We're supposed to be connected, and touch is important. These all play directly into immune health.
Absolutely. And I'll throw one more thing in there. I'm not going to tell you to supplement on it, because I'm not allowed to tell you to supplement on vitamin D. But I will say, if your vitamin D status is low, which you'll know if you get it tested, it's going to play a significant role in your immune health. Overactivity, underactivity is one of those nutrients. It's great to get a good assessment on. And I'm so glad your dog agrees.
I'm so sorry. He's supposed to be the quiet one.
it's totally fine. It's not a problem. I'm gonna segue while Julie manages her dog. I was on Clubhouse the other day, and I promise we're gonna get back to number 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10 in 1 second. But my kids came in, they were having like a full brawl. It was simultaneously being cast on Zoom and to Facebook. And I actually really love that these conversations actually happen, not in a vacuum, but in real life. When you manage your stress well, you just roll with these situations.
Absolutely. And I even kept my train of thought, just to add on the vitamin D. It is the very, very rare person that I have encountered that has optimal vitamin D levels that does not supplement. So get your vitamin D checked, people, please.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And so it's a great segue. I don't know if you guys noticed, these all segue beautifully because your body's an integrated system, from your immune health to brain health. And there's an entire immune system that actually exists within your brain. But brain health and our capacity to execute and think and having clarity of thought, this is one of those, I find, side effects of biohacking and health optimization that everyone notices. They go, whoa, I didn't realize that I was operating in a cloud. So in your experience, Julie, I'm sure you see something similar, but what are some of your favorite things people start to introduce and they go, whoa, my brain is working on my behalf in such a better way?
So for the biggest, and I agree, I think everyone has, if they're not working on it, some level of brain fog, and then working with autoimmune patients, without a doubt, you know, brain fog is one of the biggest complaints. Typically, especially, well, with all of us, it's related often to inflammation, or what they call inflammaging, right? Even if you feel well, but it's, and one of the biggest, easiest, you know, most, again, I go back to the basics, but it's still such a huge hack, was life-changing for me, is making sure you're getting enough good quality fats. Right? Healthy fats. Some of us of certain ages grew up in the low fat craze and deprived our bodies of these important substances. Our brain is made of fat. Our nervous system needs fat, not only for the anti-inflammatory properties, but, you know, just to work optimally.
Such a great point. I'm going to say, to tie back to number 4, you heal your gut. I promise you're going to have greater clarity in your brain. It's uncanny. And the other piece, just really quickly for people, is if you're like, this brain fog, one of the biggest questions I'm going to ask you is, how much alcohol do you drink? Because alcohol, one, it's going to promote that inflammatory component. Two, it's going to impair with your sleep recovery. And listen, like, I love having a nice glass of wine. But when we get in the habit of having just a little bit of wine every single day, again, we're into this accumulation piece. You need your brain really highly focused. Get that alcohol out of the way. Your brain will function better for you.
Absolutely. And here's where, you know, that Oura Ring can come in really handy. I am a clean fanatic. I say it with pride. It is just who I am at this point. And so even I only drink certain really clean wine if I drink wine, and I will check that sleep every time. And even the cleanest wine on the market will reduce my deep sleep without a doubt. So if I were doing that every day, that would have a really big impact on my brain function over time.
Yeah, it's about balance, right? You can't go to the waterside park every single day, but it's super fun when you're there. So, you know, I love water slides. Find that balance. If your brain's working well, usually we've got really strong energy reserves in our body. Do you have something that you do on a regular basis, Julie, that helps optimize energy for you or your patients?
Movement, for sure. Is what, you know, again, not to go through the whole lit, you know, starting with sleep all the way through nutrient dense diet, but movement for me, being in nature, getting outside. I'm you know, blessed enough to live in a fairly rural area in Colorado, and so I'm a horse gal. Getting outside and moving around, it doesn't have to be. You notice I didn't use the word exercise, although that can be great. But, you know, movement at the right level for you, right? Not over, not under, really helps to create that sustainable energy.
Yeah, I'm going to throw a few things in here in the spirit of the hack piece, and the movement piece is critical. If you hadn't said it, I would have said it. One is, I actually really love the idea of red light therapy. It's something you can get in your own home. It boosts mitochondrial function, helps with inflammation. It's super cool. We did an interview with the founder of Juve. You can check in our archives. We'll link to it in our show notes. So when you're doing red light therapy, it's just got so many incredible broad spectrum influences, but energy is one of the areas that it's for sure going to start to tackle in your system. So that might be a little bit more of an advanced move for people, but I wanted to throw it in there. The second is, and I want these things to be accessible, but I also don't want to jump over lack of energy as a symptom. So checking in on your body from a functional big picture perspective is really key. Like often people go to their physician, they're like, I'm tired, I don't have enough energy. And especially for women, they'll check your iron and then they're like, oh no, it's good. Or, oh, you're anemic. And we end the conversation there. So to have a really great comprehensive evaluation of a potential cause of low energy, I think is something that we owe ourselves to look into. So that's, you know, looking at thyroid hormones, thyroid levels, including T3, including your prospective antibody levels. All of these things need to be looked at for thyroid for sure. Look at iron, look at B12. And then I would have a really comprehensive hormone evaluation done. I used to use urinalysis for looking at hormones. There's really great evidence around those pieces, but you want to start to understand the root cause of your energy. And once we've checked into those things and we know what's going on, I'm actually a big fan of hacking my hot drinks. So whether I'm adding ghee to my coffee with some collagen, or I'm, you know, adding some turmeric to my tea in the afternoon, I love adding things that are going to increase my health to the hot drinks that I have throughout the course of the day.
That is a true biohacker mindset. I think that's a natural tendency for us. What can I optimize, right? Like, can I put some mushrooms in this, or can I, you know, what can I do to that? And supporting the body from every way we can. But it can be as easy as that. And the red light therapy, I encourage you all to look into. It is so simple to incorporate into your day.
Totally. It's easy. You can meditate in front of it. You can set your day up. There's just so many ways that you can make it a good use of your time. All right, let's transition a little bit. The immediate jump from energy to skin is not obvious, although the root cause pieces are often highly correlated. But Julie, do you have some key things that you do in the spirit of biohacking to help your skin feel young and healthy?
So these are going to be all repeats. So our skin is our biggest organ. So we want to be really, really thoughtful about what we put on it and near it, right? So back to that toxin load, as far as skincare products, you know, I like to recommend to people, you know, if you wouldn't eat it, don't put it on your skin. I'm not saying eat your skincare products, but they should be that clean. There should be nothing in there that you wouldn't ingest or couldn't ingest. So that's from the outside, again, back to drinking water and sleeping. And, you know, I always hear people asking, you know, well, this is going on with my skin. You know, people are always looking for what can I put on it or how do I treat it? And again, usually it's gut health. Like number one would be gut health. Number two would be hormones. You know, then we get into, but that's back to gut health would be sensitivities and things. Often it's not coming from the outside. It's not because we're not using the right product or cleaning our skin well enough. It's a symptom of what's going on the inside. So the hack would be whatever you're experiencing on your skin, look inside and all those things that you're doing to, you know, reduce your sugar and reduce your inflammation and make sure you're well hydrated and well rested, you're going to get that young, glowing skin.
Yeah, I love those. I love those pieces. Water's so key. And I'd have people who, you know, they'd spend hundreds of dollars on supplements and creams and lasers. And I'm like, drink water. They're like, oh, I don't like it. And I'm at a loss for words. Just drink water, everyone. You actually do like it. You do like it. We are genetically pre-programmed to not like water. So drink water. Eat fat. Your skin loves fat. Like really good, healthy fats are so great for your skin. And I'm going to just also say non-toxic sunscreen when you are in the sun. You have to lather your entire body in it. But, you know, protect your face. Protect those areas that are seeing the sun more often. I really don't think sunscreen should be controversial. If I'm out in the sun for more than 10 minutes, I'm burned to a crisp. I have to protect my body from the sun. There's ways for me to get vitamin D from the sun without simultaneously burning myself. So I'm a fan of non-toxic sunscreen. Pardon?
I said you won't be absorbing the vitamin D if you're burning anyway. So
no, I just
think the non-toxic piece is so key because, you know, when people, if they're not careful with their sunscreen, like you have to be intentional with your sunscreen, people.
You do. I'm not asking people to stand there and smother themselves in aerosolized banana boat. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about using intentional non-toxic sunscreen to protect your skin from one of the biggest influences of aging and genetic permutation. The sun has the capacity to literally change the DNA in your skin cells and puts you at risk for skin cancer. So just protect yourself. Okay, we're at number 9 and number 10. So if you've been following along with all of these pieces, we're talking about our 10 favorite biohacks. We started with sleep, then stress, detox, digestion, immune health, brain, energy. We just hit skin, and now we are talking about hormones, because if your hormones aren't well attuned, your skin's not well attuned, everything else is out the window. What are your thoughts, Julie, in terms of the biohacking piece related to hormones?
I think it's for those of us that want to age slower instead of quicker and age well, it is just beyond important. And it goes back to knowing, you know, what are your hormone levels? Get tested because the less than optimal hormone levels can lead to aging quicker than we want, having that less energy we talked about before. And so biohack number one is, you know, get that data. Know where you are. And there are lots of different ways to support hormone health, you know, beyond, I'm not saying everybody needs to be, you know, using hormone therapy. There are lots of natural ways to boost your own hormones and get them, keep them optimal. My biggest, I don't know if you could call it a hack, to me, requirement would be don't surround yourself with a ton of plastics. Stop drinking out of plastic bottles. Don't, you know, put hot food in a plastic container in your kitchen. Avoid plastics because they really will, you know, for women, they can really create an estrogen dominance issue. And for men too. And that's not pretty on a man either.
No, it's a great, great suggestion. Plastics are significant endocrine disruptors. So are fragrances. So fake fragrances. There's that favorite store in the mall where everyone loves to go. So the whole house smells like a candy cane. And it's not good for you. So synthetic fragrance is a huge endocrine hormone disruptor. We have an episode coming out next week with Dr. Stephanie Gray, where we talk about biohacking hormones through the whole episode and its influence on longevity. But just to give everybody a sneak peek on that, this again is one of those areas where you're going to want comprehensive testing. And in my experience clinically, a blood test from hormones from your primary care physician is not going to tell you what's happening functionally with respect to your hormones. It's going to tell you if you're way off the charts and already in pathology state. But I'm a big fan of catching things before we're in a full-blown state of disease.
Hear, hear. Yes, right? Please. Well, it's the equivalent of, you know, getting just a TSH for a thyroid check. It doesn't tell you anything useful.
It doesn't tell you anything useful other than, oh, shoot, we should have checked other hormones 8 years ago.
Well, I guess a decade ago you were in trouble already. Yeah.
And, you know, when we talk about hormones, we can talk about estrogen, progesterone, and all those pieces. And I'll just throw one more element in. A few weeks ago, we had Dr. Alan Christensen on the podcast. And anyone here who's listening who has any type of a thyroid condition, in particular autoimmune thyroid condition, I'm going to implore you to listen to that episode, because what Dr. Christensen did is he's just like, there's this piece of evidence and research that we've all been sort of overlooking for the last 30 years, and he just unpacked it. And it's really, really powerful. And he feels really strongly that understanding this element, I'm not going to give you any details, you have to go listen, really understanding this this element can actually start to reverse Hashimoto's thyroiditis. So get people off of medication that they were otherwise told they'd be on forever. So when it comes to hormones, a functional medicine practitioner, naturopathic doctor, we've got a ton of insight that's way beyond a very narrow understanding of hormones in the blood. And I would really encourage you to have a look at it. So we've dealt with a lot of pieces. We've gotten to number 10. And the reason that we put this one at the end is, one, it's Julie's area of expertise, starting to talk about and look at autoimmune risk. But also for anyone who sits in that category of heightened autoimmune risk, every single element that we've spoken about already that has all these tentacles on your health, it's also going to decrease your risk and the severity of autoimmune condition. So Julie, can you just speak to this idea of autoimmune conditions, who's at a heightened risk for that? And then how do you go about reducing that risk and then reducing the severity when it rears its head?
Absolutely. So, you know, top of the list, you hear about, you know, genetic predisposition for autoimmunity, right? Things that run in families. But what we see all the time is this really, you know, what we think of as the number one risk really is not. These days, especially, I would say, you know, that's only a slightly higher increased risk, because autoimmunity is just, unfortunately, you know, booming, right? If it were a business, it would be making bank. It's become sadly so popular and more common in younger and younger and more children. And again, that goes back to a lot of it goes back to that the toxicity levels we talked about before that we're all exposed to. So whether you have a genetic predisposition and you have a family full of autoimmune disorders or not, all of the things that we talked about today are the way that, you know, I hate to say genetics don't matter. Certainly, if you know you have a genetic predisposition and you're smart and young, you know, do these things now and you won't ever have to worry about it. But we see it's all just as reversible no matter what. And it is through all of the other nine things we just talked about, being really, really methodical. I mean, this is how there is always an underlying cause, and there are causes that aren't on this list, although they kind of are. You know, we talked about detox, and another common underlying cause would be infection, viral and bacterial infections, which are still toxins. identifying, working with that naturopath, that functional medicine doctor, identifying that root cause and treating that, and then hitting these other areas every day. You know, the body is designed to heal. And when we pay attention to these nine categories, we set the body up to heal. And so that will not only, you know, reduce risk if you have risk, but it will also, I say we all have risk these days, but we'll also start to see your symptoms improve. And I'm blown away time and time and time again. Clients come to me and they're like, well, I want to do what you do. And of course I can, you know, we never promise anybody's going to feel completely symptom free or, you know, completely in remission. And I am blown away every single time. People always feel even better than we ever thought possible. And I've felt well for the past 6 years now. And every time I hit my, you know, oh my gosh, I can't believe I feel this good, I realize 6 months later, I feel even better. So I'm still healing and still optimizing. And yes, still digging and experimenting and playing, but nothing that's not in these nine categories. Like, this is it, people. It's science, but it's not rocket science.
So well put. And health is not a destination. It is, in many cases, a baseline upon which you can continue to grow and optimize. And this was super fun. Julie, you engaged in this experiment and you leaned into it. And we covered so many bases, all the different elements that can reduce your risk around autoimmunity, but honestly, any disease. We all have some element of risk in any particular category, but risk doesn't mean it is your destiny. And these are all tools to take your destiny with respect to health into your own hands. So super fun and a perfect place for us to transition the interview to something I call our KPIs, or key performance indicators. So just like we have them in how we run our business, I believe we have them in how we run our life. So I've got a few quick questions for you.
Yay. Absolutely. Yay.
What is your most recommended book? Like, hands down, you're like, ah, oh, it's just so good.
It probably changes from time to time. I just finished reading, which is funny because it's not a new book, Younger Next Year for Women by Chris Crowley and Henry Lodge. Live strong, fit, sexy, and smart until you're 80 and beyond. They also do have a for men version. And it actually talks a lot about these pillars that we just went over. And so this is kind of the one right now that I'm trying to get everybody to read.
Love it. Now, I know we talked a lot about hacks, but I want to know, what is your favorite health hack? Like, what's the thing you're like, oh, it's so good. It's so juicy. It's my absolute favorite.
Oh my goodness. You have no idea the list that just went through my brain.
I know. And I'm being so mean by forcing you into just one.
I'm like, this isn't your normal question.
Nope.
favorite. Well, I am going to answer it just because we did put it on the hack list. Really, really committed, dedicated, high quality sleep. It doesn't get better than that.
Perfect answer. How would you define your purpose?
Oh, that's easy for me these days. My purpose is to help people with autoimmunity take their power back to feel better than they imagined they could.
Look at that. And last question for you, Julie, entrepreneurism. Are we born this way or do we learn to become entrepreneurs?
I'm going to be in the we learn to become camp, and it goes back to purpose and passion. I would have never thought I would be an entrepreneur 10 years ago, 20 years ago. I wasn't that kid. But I think when you find your passion and your purpose, it can create the drive that allows us to learn to be entrepreneurs.
Beautiful. Julie Michelson, you're up to so many amazing things, helping so many people with their autoimmune conditions. Where can we send people to learn more about your work?
You can send people to juliemichelson.com. And I always say there's no A in Michelson, or jm.coach. And I am up to really fun things, helping people reduce their inflammation and feel better. Love to
Amazing. Julie, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. I love your podcast. I'm so happy to contribute.
Aw, thank you. Entrepology is the study and science of what makes entrepreneurs tick. It's the confluence of the mindset, strategic thinking, and health that we bring to the table as contributors, as purpose seekers, as individuals building out a better tomorrow. The work that we do on the Entrepology Podcast impacts the mindset, the business tactics, and the health of those individuals who are working hard to change the world, to leave a legacy for the future. The best way that we can reach more people with the message of the Entrepology Podcast is if you help us share it. If the message that we shared in today's episode is something that resonates with you, or if you know someone who would benefit from hearing it, please send it to them directly. And if you have felt moved by the content that we have shared, I would love it if you could leave a review wherever it is that you pick up your podcast. Until next week, live life on, in, and with purpose. I'm your host, Dr. Megan Walker, and I will talk to you real soon.